As we begin today, I just want us to look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 in the Amplified Version. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 in the Amplified Version. So if you have your Bibles today, which we all should because we're in the house of the Lord this morning, you know, we've come to hear his word. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 19. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith, in him as a savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous things. The next verse. Verse 18. Oh, the moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual working brings a new life. Verse 18. Because all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example we may bring others to him. Verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sin against them, but canceling them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, that is restoration to favor with God. The key thing I want us to look at in verse 19 is that he has committed to us the message. So it's not like there's multiple message of reconciliation. It is clearly he's saying the message. It's not plural. It's one message of reconciliation that we have been given as believers because we identify with him. We identify with Christ. As verse 17 said, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. That is, we have been grafted into him. We have been joined into him. And he is our savior. That is our identity. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 15 to 18. John chapter 3, verse 15 to 18. I'm sure that some of us will recognize that scripture. John chapter 3, verse 15 to 18 in King James Version, please. John chapter 3, thank you. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The key thing in this verse 17, can we just go back? Thank you. Is that God sent his son into the world. So Jesus came to die for us even before we're believers, right? So it's not like he came to die only for believers. God sent his son into the world while we were yet sinners, right? And he came, his son didn't come to condemn the world. Here, it's not written by my parents. It's not written by anybody that is related to me. It's the Bible, right? That God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the example of the love of God. Verse 18. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now I want you to think about that as a believer. Because you know that you are a believer and you believe on him. And this is what the Bible is telling you. And keep in mind that these are the words of Jesus. You know, if the words are read in the Bible, they are the words of Jesus. So it's not like another person that heard it and said it. He said that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I just want you to know that before you believed, you were condemned already. Before we were believers, we were already condemned. It was not because God came that we were condemned, because Jesus came so that we will not be condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And this is our reality as believers, that we shouldn't be ashamed to say what the Bible says. It's not like we're being mean or we're being cruel or we're saying negative things to people in the world. No, this is the fact that anyone that does not believe, he is condemned already because of that lack of belief. Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's not that you are telling somebody that is not born again that, oh, it's because of this. It's the Bible that's telling them. Right? And as believers, we believe because we believe the Bible. The Bible is what told us, here's how we need to be saved. When I was thinking about getting to be saved, it was the Bible that I went to, and the Bible told me, you know what, you need salvation, and this is how you get it. So the same Bible will now teach us how to live as people who have been saved. So what is this believing that we've been reading about? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Keep in mind that in the verse we read before, we can read it in King James Version. Keep in mind before that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation, right? As believers, this is our job that we are believing, and we also are to go outside and to tell people what to believe. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Please, let's go back to verse 1. It's not plural again. It's the gospel. So it's a specific message that saves a person. It's not like there's multiple messages that save a person, no. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you also received, and therefore you stand. Verse 2. By which you are saved. Keep in mind the message, the gospel by which we are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How? This is now, he's telling, Paul is now telling you, what is the message that he received? What is the gospel that we have been committed, given to our hands to tell others? This is the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's not something that we're hearing outside. It's not something that we don't know. It is according to the Bible. And keep in mind that when Paul was writing this, the scriptures he's referring to is Genesis to Malachi. He's not talking about the New Testament. The New Testament was not in existence. So meaning that he found this, how that Christ died for our sins in the Old Testament, right? Let's go to the next verse. Verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that you won't say that, oh, it's my personal opinion or it's something. This is according to the Bible that has told us. So we now know what is this message that we are supposed to tell people. What are they supposed to believe in? That Christ died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. Now, some people think that, oh, it's a one-time thing. You say to somebody and they believe. Some people don't believe for years. Let's look at how long are we to preach this message. Acts chapter 28, the book of Acts 28, 23 to 24. We can read it in King James Version. Acts chapter 28, 23 to 24. The reason why I choose different versions sometimes is to better pass across the message. It's not because one message, I'm saying that, oh, this one is better than I want. I just want to pass the message across. This is in reference to the disciples. When they had appointed him a day, this is Paul actually. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging. Basically, people came to Paul's house to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Imagine somebody coming to your house and then you now have to explain this to them, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses. Keep in mind the law of Moses in the Old Testament, and out of the prophets. The prophets is basically everyone in the Old Testament, right? Paul was sitting there testifying of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus in the Old Testament. Wow. And out of the prophets from morning, Jesus, until evening, Paul was talking. How much talking can he be doing? He was talking and talking from morning until evening. Let's go to the next verse. And still, he spent all day. Some believed the things which he spoke. Some believe not. Imagine, from morning, let's say he woke up at 6 a.m. Maybe he was even making breakfast for them. He now give them food. They'll sit down. They'll listen. They'll argue till evening. And you still never believed. And keep in mind, these are people that were not Christians. These are people that didn't believe. Because that's why he's saying that some believed the things which he spoke and some believed not. So they were not Christians. So you keep him, these people were sitting for hours listening to Paul talk, and they are not even believers. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 8. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. Jesus, 3 months. He was going in, he was coming out every day. Maybe he was even sleeping there, who knows? Disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. This was Paul. This, you know, all this one we're reading here. Look at all this, the New Testament. This was Paul that wrote it all. And people were disputing and persuading for 3 months the message that we know as believers. Let's look at the next. Oh, I think that's it. For 3 months, he went there. He was talking. He was persuading. As believers, we should never give up. We should never give up. If somebody like Paul can have the patience and long-suffering to preach a message for 3 months, God, using the Old Testament, thou art begot, da. Imagine. It's not even the easy to read version that our sister Unique was quoting. You know, Unique was quoting easy to read version of that verse. He's using King James, who was even using Hebrew, he was even using Greek to talk to them, and he'll argue. Maybe they even slapped him, who knows? I don't know. What is the new man? Ephesians 4, 23, 24. The reason why I want us to explore this new man as we have read is because we have to have understanding of the things that we have as believers. You know, it's not, we have to teach a message, but if you don't even understand what you have received because of that message, Ephesians 4, 23 to 24. We're just going to be exploring what is the new man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I remember my pastor from where I used to live before, he used to say, in your medulla oblongata. He said, is he entering there? Here it says, the Bible says, is he entering your medulla oblongata? Verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Who is the ye there that is supposed to put on the new man? It's me, right? So you see, that it was my job that I have to put on the new man. Verse 25. Wherefore putting away, oh sorry, I think I stopped at verse 24. Can we go back to verse 24? Thank you. That you are to put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and holiness. See, when he says is created in righteousness, the new man that you're putting on is created. It's not me that said it, so it's the Bible. Before you meet me after service and beat me. It says that new man you are to put on is created in righteousness and true, not fake, not like the $100 bills. Not like the fake shoe that we see sometimes. True holiness. The new man is what God did in Christ. We're going to be exploring a few of these things. At the end of the service, I just want us to say a confession together. So the new man is what God has done in Christ that we ought to put on. Let's go to verse 23. Verse 23. We open a lot of scriptures because the Bible is our way of life. As a Christian, your way of life is the Bible. If we're not following the Bible, then we are double-minded. If I can say, oh, I believe the Bible to be saved, but I don't believe the Bible to live my life, let's be real. You know that term? Let's be real. Not everything is Bible. Yes, everything is Bible, though. We are real. That is our being renewed in the mind. He took us out from where we were, and he put us in Christ. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is your mind. Learn to think from the spirit. Learn to think from what God has done. That should be our perspective, what Christ has done for us. Remember, Paul was teaching in the Old Testament. He was teaching Jesus. Remember what the message is, that Jesus Christ came. He died, he was buried, and he resurrected. Still Jesus, the same thing. So we're understanding, what did God do through Jesus that is now available to me? Because I am now a new man, and I have to put it on. Learn to reason from the spirit that God has given us from redemption. You know that we have the spirit of God. We have been sealed by the spirit of God. That is another thing that makes us different from people who are saved and people who are not. That I have the Holy Spirit, right? You should be bold and confident in it. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning and I told her that you have to be bold, that I'm helped of the Holy Spirit. I'm never without help. I'm led by the Holy Spirit because he is in me. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, then what's the difference between me and somebody else? If I'm not led, if my mind is not being renewed, right? And we also renew our mind by reading the Bible, reading the scripture. The job of the believer is to use spiritual realities to renew their mind based on what Christ has done, based on what God has done. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, you and I, we are his workmanship, created in Christ. See, the new man is here. You are created in Christ. Remember when you're not a believer, you were condemned already, so you could not have been in Christ. So this is not referring to people that are not born again. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. The job of the believer is to use what the scripture is saying, like those good works, those realities that we have, and apply them in our lives. And it's not like it's only for people that are born again yesterday. This is a journey for a lifetime. If Paul can argue with people about the Bible for just the gospel, he was not even talking about how to live as a Christian. He argued with them for 3 months. They were disputing. You know how heated arguments can be. And it was just simply being born again. What more the believer spending the rest of their life discovering what Christ has done for us? So here we look at in verse Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The believer's origin is the work done by God in Christ Jesus. If God didn't do that work in Christ, then we don't have this testimony. Then we don't have this idea of who we are in Christ. Then we don't have salvation, right? Your reality is that you are his workmanship in Christ. His workmanship, God's is the one that did the work, and it is my reality. What God did in Christ is now my reality. Simply because what I believed. We read in Romans chapter 10 that you believed. Your reality, there's no reality outside of Christ for the believer. Believer's reality begins in Christ. You see here we say you're created in Christ Jesus. So it's not like before you were already there, you were not. We came in after we received salvation. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 from verse 4 to 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 7. We're exploring what is this new creation? What is this reality that I have? And a new creation is not only referring to people that are born again now. It's for every believer. You're constantly a new creation. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Before we leave, let's go back to verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him. When Christ died, that old self that we had, you know, if, in order for you to have something new, right, in this instance anyways, you had an old self before. It's not like you became new or you're this person. You had an old nature before. That is what is buried here. We are buried with him by baptism into death. Your old self was there. As they were nailing Jesus there, your old self was also there being nailed. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead. See here, when Christ was raised up, it was not your old nature that was raised up. It was your new nature, which you are in Christ. Was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Say, we also should. It's your reality, right? But you still have something to do. You should walk, right? It's like a baby. The baby has legs, but if the baby doesn't walk, the baby doesn't learn how to walk, they'll never walk. We also should walk in the newness of life. We already have it all, but we should walk in it. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5. Can we go to the next verse, please? Verse 5. Thank you. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, see the knowing. You see where it says renew your mind. This is something that you ought to know as believers. We ought to know this like at the back of our hand. Somebody tells you, why are you a believer? I believe that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he was raised. And this is what I know, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Henceforth, for he that is dead is freed from sin. See, the old man is dead, and you're walking in the newness of life, so you are freed from sin. I know somebody like, well, fam, you don't know what I did, though. Don't drag me through the mire this morning. Through the mire. The fact is, this is not something that I'm making up, right? Something that we read together. So is there a big contradiction in the reality and what the Bible is saying? You see why you should have the renewing of your mind? Some people say, well, let's continue. Walk in the newness of life. We have a new life, which is the new man. What is the walk that we're meant to do as believers? When it's saying that walk in the newness of life, the walk is your mind. You know that your mind has to change to understand that I am in Christ now. I have a new reality. So when I'm walking, it's not like, oh, I'm just walking down the street. Your mind has to be renewed, to be changed, to transformed to what is your reality. That understanding of what Christ died starts from your mind. You can't act a certain way until you're convinced in your mind. And this is what a believer has to do. That our leadership has to come from God. Knowing this, that our walk, that he was crucified, it happened already. Christ was already crucified. So it's not like he was crucified, he was still going to be crucified. No, he's already crucified. He cannot be crucified again. Let's read Romans chapter 6, 9 to 10. It's not like something that's going to happen at a later date. He was already crucified. Romans chapter 6, 9 to 10. Knowing that, again, see where the mind is coming again, renewing, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. I'm sure that even if it's the old language, we still know what dieth is. Dies no more. He never died. Death has no more dominion over him. And this is the person that you are in Christ. Christ is in you. Death has no dominion over him. He dies no more. So meaning that the old man, the body of sin, was crucified with Christ, and therefore the body of sin was destroyed. The old man cannot be crucified again because Christ has died, and Christ cannot come and die again. So as we're thinking about this, we're like, okay, so my old man is already crucified. I have the newness of life. So how do I now affect it into my everyday life? I just lied last week, this morning. I just did A, B, C, D, E. It's not in line with my newness of life, with the new creation that I have in Christ. There's just a point that I want to say. The reality of who you are in Christ cannot lead you to sin. You can't say that knowing who you are in Christ is leading me to continue in sin. It's because when we are born again and we don't understand that reality, we don't walk in that reality, that is why we do some of the things that we do. Because no one has ever needed any license to sin. You know, when people are not born again, they sin. They don't need any, nobody needs to hand them a license to be like, hey, you can sin now. So is it when the person is a believer that somebody needs to be like, hey, you can sin now? When people say that, oh, knowing or understanding the reality of who you are in Christ is leading people to sin, what they're actually saying is that knowing and understanding what you're saying, the power of God and what Christ has done to you, is leading you to sin. That's actually indirectly accusing the power of God of leading us to sin. The reality of who you are in Christ cannot lead you to sin, because that is not your nature any longer. You have the newness of life. Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Remember one message that we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. How can that same power now lead somebody to do something contrary to their newness in Christ? Okay, so let's move on. Why does a believer need to be renewed in the mind? Ephesians 4, verse 17, King James Version. Ephesians. Why do I, as a believer, need to change the way I'm thinking? Sorry, you put on Philippians. Yes, Ephesians. Thank you. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Remember, the walk, again, is the mind. Don't think as other Gentiles think, in the vanity of their mind. The believer is not like other men, even though your outward appearance may be the same. But inside, you have been born again. You have the newness of Christ in you. You are now a new creation. The Gentiles are walking in the vanity of their mind. A believer is meant to reason from the Spirit and not from anything else outside of that. What is a vain mind? Remember, we read in the book of Acts when they were talking, and he's talking about the vanity of their mind. Let's look at what he's even referring to when he's talking about the vanity of the mind. Okay. Ephesians 4, 25 to 31. Ephesians 4, 25 to 31. We're looking at the vanity of the mind. This is what we ought not to do. Putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands and the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication, vanity of the mind, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use for edifying, that is to minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Remember, I told you that the difference between you and somebody that's not born again. Let's go back to that verse 30, I think it was. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This is what we're talking about, the vanity of the mind, that the Gentiles walk in. This is how we should not walk in this way. So how does a Christian give place to the devil? By walking in the vanity of the mind. That is how you'd actually give place to the devil. You know this, we've just read here all the things that we should not be doing. We also read that you should walk in the newness of life. Meaning it is still our job to renew our mind. It is our job to know the things that we ought to do and the things that we have received in Christ and the things that we have not received. Christ is the syllabus for the believer. I was going to say that when we are walking in this new reality, when we're thinking in this new reality, we now have to let it affect our change, our actions. We now have to let it affect our character. The Bible says that we should be the example of a believer, right? You're a believer because you believe. I will never forget that. You're a believer because you believe. It's something that Pastor Rhodes said in a night vigil. She said that some of us pray for things that we already have. Some of these things, you already have the nature of God in you. You have the newness of life in you. Sometimes we end up praying for things that only take confession. Things that maybe we understanding who we are in Christ will help us. Sometimes some believers may find it hard to actually walk in this understanding because, you know, the reality of the world seems real than what you're reading in the Bible. The world seems more real than what people are telling you outside. The world seems more real than your actions. For example, you could just be like, I get angry. Isn't the Bible saying, don't get angry? You know, when you're driving to church on Sunday morning and then somebody's driving slow, you're already late. And you know, you're supposed to be in church for like 9:40. It's already 9:42. You're still on Taunton. You need to get here. And you get angry, right? But we need to constantly be reminding ourselves, know ye not. Remember that you have that reality of Christ in you. So when these things happen to us, we're supposed to not only remember what we have in Christ, but to let it affect our lives, to let it affect the change in our lives. I just want us to look at, where do we even get to? The old man that's been crucified, we bring him back. You know, when all these things happen, you now go back to the cross and you take him down. Like, come, wait. You know, when somebody's like, if I was not a believer, you already took the old man by saying that statement. You took him back. You went there, you removed the nail after he was nailed. Actually, no, it's not even the nail. He was buried, right? You went and dug the grave and he said, come back. And he took him and said, if I just one time, it's because I'm a believer. You've already bought the old man, but it's not your reality. You have the newness of Christ. When these things happen, we have to constantly remind ourselves and be renewing our mind that we have the newness of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Let's stop here. It says, put off. The old man is already off. Don't go and take him back where he's buried. Don't go and bring him to come and show them. Don't go and bring them to come and fall down and die. Don't go and bring them to come in. He's already buried with Christ. That is our reality. Can we look at Ephesians 4, verse 31? Ephesians 4, verse 32. This is how we put on the new man. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The forgiving one another, there is it only for believers? Are you only forgiving those? You know, the Bible says, I forgive those that love you. You're not different from people outside. Can you put up the scripture again? Be ye kind to one another. Oh, but you don't know what she did to me. If you know what she did to me, you will not be saying this. If you know how this person stole money from me, you will be ye kind to one another. Don't bring the old man back. Tender hearted. Hey, God. Forgiving one another. Hey, if you know what my husband did, if you know what my wife did, you'll not just be telling me I should forgive him. Forgiving one another, even as for God's sake he has forgiven you. If you know that the person robbed me and took my money, if you know how the forgiving one another, if you know that I gave that person investment money and they stole it, forgiving one another, be ye kind one to another. If you know my coworker, hey, the emails they're always sending behind my back to my manager, why will you be saying this? Forgiving. She stole my boyfriend though. How do you want me to forgive? Forgiving one another, my sister. Forgiving one another. Tender hearted. Hey, God. You want me to be tender hearted towards that devil? Like a Nigerian movie.
She's a devil. She's a devil.
You got the gist. That is how you're putting on your nature in Christ. When that old man is trying to come back, he's reaching out. You stop him. Remain there. I am going to be kind to others. I am going to be tender-hearted to others. I just want us to say these confessions. I should have put them on the screen, but we can just repeat. And this is based on the scriptures we have read today. I am the righteousness of God. And before I continue, sometimes as believers, when we actually think like, oh, I am more, but I'm not sure. You know, it's actually pride when you don't acknowledge what God has said about you. You're actually being prideful. God has said this about you, and you are refusing to say it. I'm not saying so that you say the confession. No, I just happen to, you know. I am what the Lord has done in Christ. I am the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. I am freed from sin because the old man is crucified. Christ was raised from the dead. Romans 6:11-12 says that I am dead to sin and alive to God. God's realities are my realities. I am kind. I don't get angry. I don't yellow. I am kind. I am tender-hearted. I am forgiving of others. Let's just pray this morning. Just pray for yourself that as the word has been said to you this morning, that you receive the word with gladness this morning, and that reality of Christ continues to work in you and finds its effect in you, in Jesus' name.